Well, come on, is anyone excited that Jesus is alive? If you're visiting here, if this is your first time here, first Easter here, first Sunday here, you're probably thinking, are you guys always this crazy? And I'm thinking yes is the correct answer, because we're just crazy about Jesus. We love celebrating new life in him. And it's my privilege to be able to speak the word to you this morning and to remind you of the center of the Christian faith. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. And if you don't have your Bibles, we'll have these verses up on the screen. But I want to read a passage that the Apostle Paul used to write to the church in Corinth. And he wrote this as a reminder to the early church on what the gospel was and what the church existed for. 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll start reading the first four verses, say this. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. What we celebrate today is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Christianity, from its inception, has always been about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We've had people make Christianity and following Jesus about all kinds of other things. People have made following Jesus about a certain list of do's and don'ts, about a sense of morality, of right and wrong. And so Christianity, to so many in our world today, is known as this club. And in this club, there are people who do certain things and live a certain way. And if you don't do those certain things and live in that certain way, then you are not a part of the club. And I want to clarify to you us this morning, Christianity is not a club, that Christianity is a celebration of a historical event known as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What we celebrate today, this is the biggest day in the church calendar. What we celebrate today is at the very foundation of everything that we believe. I know that Christmas gets a lot of attention in North America and our celebrations around our families and homes and even in our churches. Christmas is a significant day, but today is the big day, folks. Today is the reason why Christmas exists. Jesus was born so that he could die and be buried and rise again. I want you to notice that Paul says, this message that I preach to you is the message by which you are being saved. This is the same message that saved you yesterday and last year and the year before that and the decade before that is the same message that will save you today and tomorrow and into eternity. It's the same story. In case you're wondering what Easter service might look like, if you want to come back next thing, it's going to be the same thing. Because the story doesn't change. We've been celebrating the same thing for 2,000 years. Why? Because it's history, and it's our foundation, and it's true. And I know in the church, we like learning new things. Who likes learning new things? And a lot of people, we want to come to church, and we want to learn something new. Pastor, teach me something new. I want to learn something new. Give me the Greek and the Hebrew and the deep stuff. Here's what C.S. Lewis said. People need to be reminded more than they need to be instructed. We need to be reminded of the foundation of the gospel. And that's what I'm going to give to us this morning. Paul gives us that foundation. Here it is. Let me read it again. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according with the scriptures. Today I want to draw your attention not to religion, not to morality, not to a church, but to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But before I do that, I want to draw your attention to this. See this building here. In case you're wondering, in case you can't tell based on the picture, that is not how a building should look. This is a 13-story apartment building that collapsed in Shanghai, China on June the 27th of 2009. And the incident killed one worker And it embarrassed all of the leaders in Shanghai. They were preparing for the 2010 World Expo, where people from all around the world were going to be coming to see China. And Shanghai, being their richest city, they were excited to be able to show this off. And this happened shortly before. And so they did an investigation, because when something like that happens, you want to know whose fault it was. Everybody wants to know who to sue. Right? And so they wanted to look at the architectural drawings, and they wanted to see the engineer, and they wanted to know if the foundation was correct. And so they did an investigation, and you know what they found? This building was built flawlessly. The architectural drawings were accurate. The blueprints were accurate. The builders used the right material. They used the right mixtures and the right concrete and the right foundation. They did it all exactly as they were supposed to. Now, I've made it known to you before, and if you know anything about me, you know that I am no handyman. When I pick up a tool, it literally starts screaming at me and tells me to put it down. Not literally, but that's what I think. A hammer is not comfortable in my hands. My 4-year-old son will correct me on how to use a hammer, because he learns from his pops. But I do understand this about building. You have to get the foundation right. And if you get the foundation right, then you can have a solid structure on which it will stand. If you do not have a solid foundation, then nothing that you build, no matter how beautiful or fancy, will stand upon that foundation. And yet this building, you can see here another view. Isn't that a beautiful view? You can see one more over. The next slide there, you can see right at the bottom there. That's right at the base of it, the foundation. The foundation was built flawlessly. There was nothing wrong with the foundation. So you got to ask, how did this happen? What they found was that they were building an underground parking lot right beside this 13-story apartment building. And as they started to dig, water from a nearby creek on the other side of the apartment building started running underneath the foundation of the apartment building. And so it made the ground underneath the foundation so insecure that, just like Humpty Dumpty, this 13-story apartment building came tumbling down. Notice nothing was wrong with the foundation. You might be sitting here this morning and you might be thinking, I understand the foundation of the Christian faith. I understand the resurrection. I understand Easter. I'm good. I've got that figured out. But is it possible that there are some things that have happened in your life around you, in your circumstances, that are starting to affect and possibly infect the very foundation upon which you stand? And so this morning, I want to remind you that Christianity is not about a list of do's and don'ts. It's not about a religion. It's not about a church. It is about a historical event, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And I want to welcome the Holy Spirit to do some work in our hearts this morning as I speak to you. If you're there in 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to turn down to the 14th verse. And I'm going to read 8 verses from the Apostle Paul as he continues to write to the early church. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 14, says this: "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they've perished. And if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, so by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead." Here the Apostle Paul gives us a very clear and bold, and some would say offensive, teaching on the centrality of the resurrection to what it means to follow Christ. And I love that the Apostle Paul does this. Let me tell you some things I love about the Bible. This book, again, is not just a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a list of moral things, and this is what you should do, and this is how you should live. This book is history. It's a historical document that was written with the intention of being understood. And the Apostle Paul, he would take time. He would write these letters to the churches so that he could explain to them the mysteries, what he called the mysteries of the gospel, so that we could understand it. And he gives us some understanding into the resurrection here. That the Christian faith is not just, well, you've got to have faith and believe whatever the Bible says, and that's the end of the story. And if you don't believe the Bible, then God's just displeased with you. I'm sure you've heard many people say that to you before. That no, this book provides us with legitimate reasons to trust this history that we celebrate. Here's what Paul says. Here are the implications of the resurrection and how important it is. He says this: if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, everything in this book is meaningless. And every moment that you spend following Jesus is a waste of your life. And you should stop doing it now. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, you are wasting your lives following him and his teachings. If somewhere in a grave, in a tomb, Jesus' dead corpse is still there, we are wasting our lives trying to follow someone who's dead. It's so bold and so dramatic, and we need to pay attention to this. Here's what Paul doesn't say. Paul doesn't say, you know what? Living for God and following Jesus is worth it as long as we can live more moral lives. As long as we can, you know, swear less, drink less, smoke less, God will, you know, even if he doesn't really exist, as long as we do certain things and change our behavior, and as long as we can be better citizens, and as long as the streets are cleaner and more hungry people are fed, then you know what? Even if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then it's still worth it. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say as long as Christianity makes you a better husband or a father or a wife or a mother, then it's worth it. He says, if it is a lie, then you are deceiving people and your faith is useless. Whew, those are some strong words. And every person on planet Earth needs to wrestle with the implications of this. Folks, either this book is true or it isn't. That's it. Don't look back at Jesus. So many people love doing this. Don't look back at Jesus and say he was a great teacher. He was a great guy, told us to love our neighbors, told us to be this wonderful person. Don't think that Jesus was just some nice guy. He either is who he says he was, he either died and came back to life, or he was a liar and a crook and a thief, and you should ignore him. Paul does not say, as long as you obey the Ten Commandments, then life will be better for you. As long as you love your neighbor as yourself, life will be better for you. He says this in verse 14, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. You're wasting your time. Verse 15, he says the same thing in a different way. He says, we have even been found misrepresenting God. Why? Because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he didn't raise if the dead are not raised. So he says, here's the deal. If we go around telling other people, if we go around inviting other people to our Easter service, right? Anybody do that? If we go around and say, hey, listen, I want you to come and hear about what my faith is about. And yet, if it is a lie, we are misrepresenting God. And we are deceiving people. And we're not helping people, we're hurting people. If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, then every church on planet Earth should shut their doors. And the world would be better off for it. This is what Paul is saying. Folks, it's either true or it's not. And the conviction of the early church was this: everywhere that we go, we're going to testify to one thing: Jesus is alive. I'm not going to get into arguments. Anybody like getting into arguments? Sometimes I do, right? I love theological arguments. You want to come and have like a debate with me about a hot topic in the world today? Let's go to Starbucks. Let's make it happen. I love having arguments about the implications of following Jesus and what about should we do this, can we do that? I love those conversations. But you know, that's not what the early church went around doing. They didn't go around picking arguments saying, you know, you really shouldn't live like that. You really shouldn't do that. Did you know that the Bible says that you shouldn't do that? And yet Christians all over the world, so many of us, what do we go around doing? We go around saying the Bible says that you shouldn't do that. That's not what the early church did. They went around saying Jesus is alive. You heard of this man named Jesus who performed miracles and they crucified him. The Romans put him on a cross. You hear about that guy? He is alive. And if he is alive, that ought to dramatically change how we live our lives. I want, from the bottom of my heart, this is what I want you to understand today. That Christianity is not about religion. It is about a historical event. It's the resurrection of Jesus. And if the resurrection didn't happen, then everything that we talk about is a lie. And it's a waste of our lives. I want you to listen to this statement by Leon Morris, a widely published theologian, a man much smarter than me. He said this: Christianity is not a system of good advice. And the preachers had not simply told people of a good way to live. They said that something happened. God raised Christ. Central to the early church spreading the message of the gospel was that people would testify. Something happened, and that changes things. On September the 11th, 2001, four passenger airliners were hijacked by 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists in an attempt to bring down the World Trade Centers in the Pentagon. It was an event that took place in a matter of 1 hour and 42 minutes. And it forever changed how airports would function in terms of their security and what would be allowed on an airplane. You'll notice that the event took place before they changed their protocol. They didn't raise the standard of security on airports and in airplanes because they thought that terrorism might take place. No, something happened as a result to an event. When you see new stop signs and new yield signs go up in your subdivisions and on ramps onto highways and in cities, often those are put there not because they were thinking proactively, but because something happened. Someone got into a car accident, someone died, two people died, three people died, and then they decide to put up a traffic sign or a stop sign or a yield sign. I say all that to say this: events take place that therefore change how we live. And Christianity is the same. Something happened. Jesus walked out of the grave. And that is what Christianity is all about. Paul makes this overwhelmingly clear. Verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, listen to this, your faith is futile. And you're still in your sins. If Jesus did not come back to life, here's the really bad news. If he didn't, then we're still in our sins. Then there's no reason to have hope in this world. That to follow a man who just had good teachings and he did good things and he performed miracles is a complete waste. Because if he's still dead, we're still in our sins. Leon Morris goes on to say this: faith in Christ is a pointless exercise if the result is that you are still in your sins. You can have a story, you can have your own testimony about how God has, you know, he makes you feel good and he provides for you and he heals you when you're sick and that's great. But if he hasn't forgiven your sins, it's of no value. If you and I are still in our sins, then everything that we do is a waste of time. In the early church, they went around declaring, Jesus is alive. Verse 18, Paul says, if Jesus didn't come back to life, then we are going to have to think about death as truly being death. We can't call it sleep anymore. And this might sound like a strange thing to us, but the New Testament church, they had a shift in their thinking. They no longer thought of death as death. They thought of it as a nap. See, because Jesus, if his resurrection is true, that provides a future resurrection for you and I. And if we have a future resurrection, ooh, who knows what that will be like. A future resurrection. I'm just going to have a drink of water here for a second. If we have a future resurrection, then death is nothing to be afraid of. This is why the Apostle Paul goes on to say this in verse 54 and 55. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Death is robbed of its hold over us. There's no reason to be afraid of death. Death is a nap. It is a moment in time between where we are right now and where we'll be when we wake up. I have young kids at home. So afternoon naps are a part of the everyday schedule. And when I'm home on the weekends, I often partake in the afternoon nap. It is a holy and sacred thing. Come on, who else thanks God for afternoon naps? What a great thing, right? Someone told me after first service this morning, the only thing better than an afternoon nap is a mid-morning nap. I like that. I like that. And I say that to say this, that my children don't understand time very well at this point. They're 2 and they're 4. So they don't understand time. So when we try and talk about what we're going to do tomorrow, this is always my son's clarifying question. Do you mean after this nap? Like after I sleep this time? Then we're going, no, that's just a nap, and then we're going to have dinner, and then we're going to do this. But I mean like tomorrow, after you sleep tonight. The only way that he thinks is based on his sleep cycle, right? I sleep, and then I wake up, and then I sleep, and then I wake up. We ought to have that mindset as followers of Christ. What is death but just a nap? And yet, if Christ is not raised, Paul says, it is not sleep, it is death. And when you die, you're dead, and that's the end. If there is no resurrection, then there is no hope for the future. And many Christians have said this, and I've heard preachers say it, and you know what? I may have said this myself. Even if we're wrong, you heard someone say this? Even if we're wrong, even if everything that we believe is a complete fabrication and it's a lie, I still lived a better life. I still lived a more moral life. I still made better decisions and had a better marriage and had better kids and a better family. And you know what? I say amen to that. That is true. There are blessings to following God here on this earth, that even if there is no eternity, it is still worth it. However, Paul's point is actually the opposite. Paul's point is to say, listen, if you're building your life on a lie, you are doing yourself harm. And if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then your life is a waste of time. Stop following Jesus. Stop reading the Bible. Stop going to church. Don't take that out of context when you leave here. Did you hear what my pastor said? Seriously, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then stop wasting your time. But he is alive. And if Jesus did rise, Paul says, since he did rise, then he is the first fruits, which means that there's more coming. And that's you and me. I have the privilege of telling you this morning that Jesus rose from the dead. You say, how can you know that, Pastor Tim? You weren't there. It's been thousands of years. You're reading the Bible and you're just believing this. This is not a religious book. I've said this before. I'm going to say this so many times. This is not a religious book. This is history. This is history. You say, well, how do you know? How can you trust it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why did they write the story four times? It wasn't for fun. Gee, I could use a refresher. Let's go through Mark now. Why did they write it four times? Because they wanted to preserve history. We have more copies, more manuscripts of the original documents of the New Testament than many other documents that we place our trust in today. This is history, folks. And it's either true or it isn't. And everything that the early apostles and everything that the early disciples did, they wanted to write down sermons, write down letters, write down messages to do what? To tell people Jesus is alive. That's what it all comes down to. And if you remember what Judas, after he betrayed Jesus, they felt the need, based on Scripture, to fulfill his place. Scripture said that someone would have to take his place. And so after Judas had hung himself, the early church were gathering, and they said that we need to have someone fill his place as the 12th disciple or apostle. And listen to the job description that they give. Acts 1:22, they say this. One of these men must become with us what? A witness to his resurrection. Whoever takes Judas's place, you know what their job's going to be? To be a witness to what? His resurrection. Whoever it is that's going to be a disciple, whoever's going to follow Jesus, you know why you exist? To be a witness to the resurrection, not to a list of ideologies, not to rules and regulations. We have a weird thought when it comes to witnessing, don't we? And we don't want to witness. We don't want to tell other people about our faith because we think that we've got to argue with people and that we've got to convince people to live a certain way, and you got to stop doing that because the Bible says this, and did you know that you should be living this way and not that way? That's not what witnessing is. What is witnessing? When people are called as a witness into a courtroom to stand before a jury, they're witnessing to something that they saw. To be a witness is to testify concerning something that you knew has taken place. So what does it look like to be a witness for Jesus? Here's what it looks like. Tell people Jesus is alive. Don't tell them about the church that you go to. Oh, you should come to the church that I go to. My pastor will say silly things like resurrecting. You should come and meet him. He makes at least one weird thing he says every Sunday. No, tell people Jesus is alive. Don't tell them what movies they shouldn't watch. Don't tell them what they shouldn't do. Say, you know, you really shouldn't do that. You should obey God. Would you like to come to church with me? No, tell them Jesus is alive. I worship a God who's alive. He's not dead. And if he's still alive, then we should follow him. And if you know of another person who brought themselves back to life after being dead for 3 days, I'd like to meet him because I'll follow them too. Come on, no one else has done this, folks. No one else. Jesus is worthy of being followed. He's worthy of being worshipped. He's worthy of having our lives surrendered to him. And if Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, then stop wasting your time. But if he has, you ought to fall on your face and give your life to him. If Jesus came back to life, you ought to bow at his feet and give him everything. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. Being a witness of the gospel is testifying to the risen Savior. And Acts 4:33 says this, "And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." They gave their testimony to the resurrection. That's what it's all about. Tell people Jesus is alive. Go and tell people Jesus is alive. Gee, Pastor Tim, what should I do after service today? Go tell people that Jesus is alive. What should I do when I have conversations with my family? Some of my family that I'm going to see this weekend, you know, they don't know Jesus. They don't go to church. Tell them that Jesus is alive. Don't tell them to follow rules and regulations. Tell them to follow Jesus. Because he's real. And he's risen. And he's worthy. People think that Christianity is about morality. People think it's about social causes. Save the environment. Global warming. Save the whales. All that stuff's great. It has its place. But our foundation is this. Jesus is alive. We build our lives on that. He's our foundation. He's our everything. Paul ends in verse 20 by saying this. But if in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, he's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I'll read verse 17 one more time. He says this, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So let me switch that around for you. You ready? Since Christ has been raised, my faith is legitimate and I am no longer in my sins. Come on, isn't that good news? I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because Jesus is alive. Jesus made this declaration when comforting two sisters who were grieving the loss of their brother Lazarus. Before Jesus rose him from the dead, he said this, I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Say, Pastor Tim, what do I need to do? You need to believe in Jesus. Well, what do I need to believe about him? You need to believe that he rose from the dead. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Lots of people think that Jesus is a nice guy. Lots of people think that Jesus taught a lot of great stuff, did a lot of great stuff. Here's the question for you to answer for yourself. Have you acknowledged that God raised Jesus from the dead for you? That is your salvation. And if you have not acknowledged that Jesus rose from the dead for you, then you have not been saved. And we welcome you to do so today. Come on, stand to your feet in this place. And I want every person in this room with a heart's desire to confess Jesus as their Lord to do so right now. Come on, speak it out. Jesus is Lord. If you've never acknowledged that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you'd like to do that, just do that right now. God, I acknowledge that you raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. And I'm saved. My faith is legitimate and I am saved. God, I praise you today for your hand upon every person in this room. Lord God, I thank you that before the foundation of the world, you chose us. You selected us. You chose to have us here in this place today, God. And to bring salvation to many households. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your saving work through your death, burial, and resurrection. And we praise you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, we're going to sing together. Let's raise a hallelujah. In the same 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul explains that Jesus himself appeared to 500 witnesses at the same time, most of whom were all still alive while these scriptures were being written. Each and every one of the early disciples endured great persecution for their faith. 11 of them were murdered. They were martyred. They couldn't kill John. They tried. They stuck him in a pot of boiling oil and he still wouldn't die. And so they put him on an island till he passed away of natural causes. Let me ask you a question, folks. Why would 12 men die for a lie? Why would 500 who stood there watching testimony, watching witness, not speak up when these writings were made in Scripture? Why would they not say, this whole thing's a lie, this whole thing's a sham? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is alive. It actually happened. This is not religion. This is history. And I want to read you one more passage. Paul wrote this to the early church, Romans 6. He says this, do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Our lives are to be modeled after Jesus. And when we experience a surrender in our heart to him, we are likened unto his death and unto his burial. And when we surrender and acknowledge in our heart that God raised Christ from the dead, we receive our own resurrection here on this earth. But there is a day coming where we get a future resurrection. There is a future hope that we get to look forward to, where there is every single pain in this world is moved away. Every single trial, every single struggle is gone. And we're going to take just a little quick nap, and then we're going to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we give you glory in this place that over 2,000 years ago, you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross that we deserve to hang on. And that your love for us was so great that you would allow your son to endure such pain and loss. Not just so that we could follow you, but so that we could surrender our lives to you. So that we could have our own resurrection. God, I thank you that on the third day Jesus rose from the dead. And I thank you, God, for new life in this place today. Lord, we love you. And we raise a hallelujah in this place, Father. You are good and you are worthy. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a shout in this place today. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Because he is risen. He is risen indeed. I want to bless you as you go. As you go, here are your marching orders. Go and tell others what you have witnessed. Jesus is alive. We want to encourage you to go. We've got a banner in the foyer. Jesus is. We want to encourage you to go and to grab one of the markers and to write some stuff on the wall there. And we want to have that filled up with some beautiful words of who Jesus is to all of us. And we want to send you out with a little blessing as well. We have some chocolate eclairs that we've purchased for you. They're free. You go ahead into the cafe and we've got some free coffee and tea and a treat for you. We want to celebrate. And so let me say it again. Jesus is alive. God bless you as you go and have a wonderful resurrection day.